Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Love the stories. Keep them coming. Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. And Bart Scott, you with me?
I'm with you.
It's hour number three.
Ooh.
It's hour number three. What does that mean?
It means, Alan, it is the power hour. Hour. Hour.
Yeah.
Hour.
You're damn right it is.
Oh, I feel like James Earl Jones as they just renamed the new the center here. Shout out to James Earl Jones, a.k.a. Mustafa, a.k.a. Dark Vader, a.k.a. my son, what? You had one job, you simple.
The king of Zamunda.
Yeah, man.
We are presented by Progressive Insurance. If I didn't say that already, you know Wink Martindale well, don't you?
Baby Wink Wink. Yeah, I know Wink Wink.
Yeah, that's your guy, right? Well, he's now, of course, with the Giants. And Dan Dugan of the Athletic had this quote that had just caught my attention from today. Wink Martindale had a message for New York Giants fans for their home opener on Sunday. He said, if you want to be part of changing this culture here with the Giants, be loud. Have that place rocking where people don't want to come to our stadium. We'll take care of the rest, and we'll give you something to be loud about.
Yeah, brother. Sound like a wrestling
All I
got to
say is, like, have you seen MetLife Stadium? I mean, you can be as loud as you want. Don't matter.
Nah, I used to get gangster when I was there.
What?
Gangster, Tiffany.
Be honest.
You just had a guy from Sopranos there. You had J.B. Smoove there. You had Meth there. You know what I'm saying?
Jada. 80,000 people. James Gandolfini being 80,000, like 80,000 people. You have one guy there. I don't think in a football stadium it has the same impact as it does when it's like your courtside at an NBA game.
Are you crazy? Have you been to Kansas City?
No. All right. You're missing my point.
Oh.
There are buildings in the NFL that definitely have that sinister, intimidating, you know, oh, mother, I'm in.
Okay, stop.
Right? Like that is Pittsburgh.
Stop.
Like, you know what I mean. There's certain places where it's like the chill just goes up your spine, like, whoa. MetLife Stadium is not that. It's not that.
Like
that.
It gets like that at times. You know,
Come on, man.
That thing has been rocking. You don't think when the Giants, well, they ain't play a playoff game. Last Super Bowl. But ours used to be rocking, bro. Especially, oh, man, the first time, well, that was in the old stadium. First time we played the Patriots. Oh, yeah. Tom Brady, we stopped them on 4th and 1. Ooh.
There's something unique about the New York roar, and I know everybody around the country is like, oh, God, like, here you go again. No, it's true, though. A New York crowd has a sound to it that is unique to itself. There is some type of this blood-curdling roar that when the team, their home team, is playing lights out, especially defensively. You're talking about shutdown again. That's why, Bart, I think you probably would have felt that. Like, it is unique. It is a sound unique. But the building has no type of, there's nothing any type of sense. Yes, right.
It Pleasantville. They made all the seats gray. Oh, let's make it gray because it's for both teams. Come on, man.
Right.
Stop it. You got to be better than that.
Right. I just can't.
You could have made one side red, one side green or something like that. Like, to just add
but
some
it doesn't
type
have,
of, it looks like a toaster. Look,
it really
that's what a billion dollars get you, and then Jerry Jones, same price, three times the facility.
Right, that place is like unbelievable. You're in a palace. You feel like you're playing at this higher level, right? When you play in Dallas, now does it help the home team? Not necessarily, but there are just certain buildings that just have a uniqueness about them, and MetLife Stadium is like Bart, go outside your house where your air conditioning units are.
Yeah,
that's MetLife Stadium.
You got no
right, you know what I'm talking about, right? The fans that are all set up outside the house when you have central air, like that's what the stadium looks like. That
you call it the radiator,
whatever,
the unit,
exactly,
the HVAC unit.
I don't know. All I know is that I love Wink saying it, but it's like,
It still can get crazy there. You force a team to get in silent count. You got those DNs being able to fire up the ball. Well, they got to go in silent count, man. You get to get that nice jump on the ball.
Let's hope so. We got JC in Charlotte, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. And JC wants to talk to you about the Browns and the Jets. JC. Uh-oh. JC.
Yeah.
Jay Zizzle.
What's happening?
Hey, Bart. 98.9% of the time we agree on everything.
Yes, sir.
But that, I'm just going to contradict what you said earlier. You said that the Chargers got the better team, so they should beat,
they do. They do. It's not even close.
I feel like the Browns got a better team than the Jets, and you're picking the Jets to win.
Nah, but Jacoby Brissett, man, is really like, Jacoby Brissett is a liability. Like, and, you know, he hasn't played well. I know Flacco didn't play well, but Jacoby Brissett, you saw what they looked like against Carolina. Like,
yeah, I'm from here. You know what I'm saying? So I went, went to the game and everything.
Send us some Bojangles, man.
What's that?
Send us some Bojangles.
Oh, I got you. And another thing, and my mom was listening to you all when you did Boston Dominic.
Ah.
And back before Raw, there was Saturday Night Main Event.
Oh, yeah. Who you think you talked to?
Ultimate Warrior came on the show.
Yes.
And they buried him in the casket. And I'm crying thinking he's dying. You know, he's dead. Yeah. They had killed Ultimate Warrior. So I'm crying.
The powers I have inside are unknown.
What's wrong with you, boy? What's wrong with you, boy?
Yeah.
I was like, they just buried the Ultimate Warrior.
Yes.
Boy, shut up and go to bed.
The power I have inside her is undeniable. The only man who can defeat me is the
JC,
man
JC, I love that story,
that's
man.
God himself. If do rise, and all my little warriors in their glory shall push you above my head in the gorilla flesh, and I shall come and rise with the warrior. Dun,
dun, dun, dun. Wait a minute.
Dun, 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 dun,
you're telling
dun, dun,
me that you can memorize that and repeat it without hesitation.
Yes.
But you have read the Disney Plus ad for like a week now, and you still stumble over a couple
of No. That's because sometimes I'm not, I'm kind of distracted a little bit, but he had me locked into my warrior. What you know, Mean Gene?
There's no doubt.
What your man Randy Savage? Oh,
but we are. Yeah. Right, So, it's a very interesting game, by the way, the Panthers and the Giants. That's a very interesting game, of course.
Ooh, you're just going to ignore that beat in the back.
I hear the beat now happening, yes. I'm trying to get into the conversation into the show on your wrestling tip right now.
Sorry.
So, and then you have the Browns and the Jets, and you're saying that Brissett will be a problem for the Browns, that you think the Jets defense can get to him. And that this could be a game to watch on that front.
Yeah, you want to know why? Because listen, Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt went for over 220 something yards rushing. Bill Callahan is one of the best line coaches in the game. But I was encouraged with the fact that the Ravens rushing attack has led this league for multiple years under the Lamar Jackson era, and they held him to 63 yards and made Lamar Jackson have to take some shots down the field. I think that when you look at the matchups, Amari Cooper maybe would have 4 yards receiving last week. So if they don't have that, then you stuck the peoples. Then now you put it in Jacoby Brissett's hands, who is not a very good quarterback.
Well, the Browns do run; they can run the hell
right,
out of
the football. But if the Jets can stop the run like they did last week against a potent attack, then that's going to put it in Jacoby Brissett's hands. I think the Jets have more weapons. They may not have a receiver that's better than Amari Cooper, but they have 3 receivers that can give you crazy productivity when you think about, Garrett Wilson, Elijah Moore, Corey Davis is okay. You know what I mean? And who knows, Braxton Berrios is good for some plays. But, of course they have the advantage in the running back because Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb are amazing. But if you make them one-dimensional, there's no way Jacoby Brissett holding on to the football can really beat you because he's not a great passer of the football at this stage of his career.
All right. On the Lamar Jackson front, though, you were on Get Up this morning with everybody, and that includes Diana Rossini, who, as Greeny pointed out on the show, is probably the last person that's going to get to talk to Lamar about his contract situation publicly.
She was the last
because
one.
Because he keeps telling reporters, that's it. We started. It's over. What do you make, though, of what she said that he said to her, not necessarily about the last offer that they did make right before kickoff that he turned down, but that when she asked, so you're going to play this whole season without it, and he said, we'll see.
Yeah.
What do you make of that?
I mean, it could be some gamesmanship. I can't see Lamar Jackson. But it's the crazy thing, man. The Ravens.
Could you see him? So you can't see him sitting down at some point?
No, but what are you going to do? Have a sit-in? Because, if not with the new CBA, if you get fined for conduct detrimental, you get fined because you're not going out and playing, you're not injured. They can fine you, and you don't get that money back. It used to be where you get the money back, and the team can say, here you go, man. We agreed, and here's your money back. You can't do that anymore. So, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how this thing plays out. But they like Tyler Huntley, and maybe they like him, maybe not as much as Lamar Jackson, but if they can get 3 first-round draft picks and go with Huntley, they'll do that.
How about this? Oh, wait, whoa. You just suggest. Wait, we got to come back to this conversation because I have a couple more questions to ask you about Lamar Jackson, but we've got more to get to, including some baseball with one of our favorite people, Buster Olney. The Dodgers are historically great this season. They are on their way to 100 wins. They are won their division again for the millionth time in the last million years. But there's a major issue looming for them, and we'll get into that and more after Bart tells you about body armor.
I read this a million times, too.
Yes, you have.
This football season, Body Armor is the choice for hard work and hydration. Whether you're running plays on the field or cheering on the home team, Body Armor keeps you on top of your game with potassium-packed electrolytes, antioxidants, and no artificial sweeteners. Yeah, red dye 88. Flavors or dyes. Buy any Body Armor between now and November 1st for a chance to win a $100 DraftKings gift card. No purchase necessary. Gear up this fall with Body Armor. Sports drink, more than a sports drink. Void where prohibited. Open a residence of U.S. 21 years old.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Line drive, caught by the second baseman, Taylor. The Dodgers shut out Arizona, and the Dodgers win their 9th division title in the past 10 years.
What a run they have had. World Series, of course, championship in there as well. They would like more and perhaps could get more this year. It's Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. By the way, that was heard on AM 570 LA Sports. And as we get into a baseball conversation here, as we are into September, getting closer to October, we love talking with Buster Olney about all things baseball, and he joins us right now. And Buster, on the Dodgers front, I mean, this has been, I almost feel like they're a little bit overlooked. I mean, having such a great season. But there is some major issue that you see looming. What is it?
Yeah, and I agree with you that they're overlooked. You think about their run differential. It's a plus 318. The 98 Yankees, who won 125 games, including regular season, postseason, in the regular season, had a run differential of plus 309. So the Dodgers have still 3 weeks to go, and they've already blown past that run differential. Wow. They're blowing out teams constantly. You know, they're 1-2-3 in their lineup with Mookie and Trey Turner, and Freddie Freeman is arguably the best 1-2-3 in the history of baseball. You know, that's how good this team is. But at the back end of their bullpen, Craig Kimbrell is going to be a question mark. He blew a save yesterday. You know, he had a spate of games in August where he had struggled some. He pitched better of late. But as we've seen with the Dodgers, you know, over the last 5 or 6 years, when they Kenley Jansen sometimes struggled down the stretch, Craig Kimbrell struggling down the stretch here, we're going to be going into the postseason all sort of wondering, okay, what's the alignment going to be in their bullpen? As the old saying goes, in the postseason, you win with bullpen and bench.
Mm-hmm. And you know what, Buster? Wow. You know, we've been fixated, you know, early in the season with the Yankees and the great start that they got out to. Then also, then we kind of recognized and said, well, you know what? Maybe the Astros are the best team in the AL. And, you know, can't wait to see this Yankees and Astros foregone conclusion. Can the Yankees finally overcome? But are the Yankees the biggest threat to the Astros, or is it another team you have in mind?
Bart, I got another team in mind, and that would be the Seattle Mariners, who are going to make the playoffs for the first time in 21 years. And the reason why is because of familiarity with the Astros. Being in the same division, they play each other a bunch of times. And you guys remember, you know, back in the day when we had Red Sox and Yankees at the, you know, the height of their rivalry in the early 2000s, you know, every other team, Mariano Rivera would come out of the bullpen, and it was like he was a god to other teams. To the Red Sox, there was no awe there because they saw him all the time, and they would actually dent him from time to time. And, you know, in recent years, the Rays against the Yankees, even though, you know, the Yankees had a payroll four times greater than the Rays weren't in awe of the Yankees, and they haven't been because they see him all the time. And I think that's what the Mariners are going to bring to the table in their series if they play them in against the Astros. You know, and they have excellent starting pitching. They can go toe-to-toe with the Astros, with the starting pitching, and they have this you know, young, dynamic player, Julio Rodriguez, who's just made for the stage. It feels like in the way that Jeter was always made for the stage, a guy you knew would step up in a big moment. I think that's what Julio Rodriguez is going to be because he just loves to play under the big lights.
Wow, can you imagine that? That's definitely a series to watch on all those reasons if they do face each other, just based on that. Like, yeah, now, we're not afraid of you, and in fact, an up-and-coming team that finally take on the Astros' dominance. But on the Yankee front, though, Gerrit Cole, I say this constantly. Like, every time it's like, I need a stopper performance here. I need an ace performance here as the Yankees were leaking oil. And I'm like, I'm not getting it. I'm just not getting it. He reminds you of a former Yankee superstar. Which one do you have in mind?
Roger Clemens, when he first joined the Yankees. You know, Roger... you know, despite, you know, the what happened, PDs and stuff. I mean, this guy really cared to the point that I think for years and years and years, the postseason was an issue for him because he just put so much pressure on himself. And if you remember, you know, he comes over having won back-to-back awards, joined the Yankees in 99, and in the postseason, he was their number four starter because he just drove himself crazy. And it wasn't really until the following year that he began to conquer that. That's what I see in Gerrit, who just puts so much pressure on himself to the point of affecting how he performs on the mound. I mean, let's face it, guys. Yankees are going to be going into the postseason. The big question about them is going to be about Gerrit Cole. You know, is he going to be the number one type guy? Is he going to be that type of starter that they're going to need to get through, you know, the Astros or the Mariners or the Blue Jays or the Rays or one of these teams at Cleveland? They need him to pitch like they're paying him to pitch. And in the postseason, in big games, he hasn't really been that guy.
Now, listen, the biggest story around here, we all know, and maybe the biggest story in all of baseball, is just the historic season that Judge is having. You talk about betting on yourself and then having a historical season. Where does Judge sit as far as leverage, as far as the Yankees? And will the Yankees be too stubborn, potentially, to overpay for Aaron Judge?
Yeah, Bart, they might. And I think because, you know, they've had experience. In 2007, if you remember, when Alex Rodriguez opted out of his contract, Brian Cashman's recommendation to ownership was, do not chase him. Let him go. We'll get other players. Let him opt out. That's totally fine. And it turned out that, you know, Cashman was right with that recommendation. Robinson Cano, when he became a free agent, the Yankees stood, Brian Cashman stood saying, you know what, we don't think it's worth it. If he wants to go to Seattle, go ahead. I think the same thing is going to happen this offseason. Now, it's interesting, and talking with executives with other teams, they are skeptical the Judge will leave the Yankees. They believe that in the end, the Yankees will work it out with Judge. But it's interesting. It took the one person who, you know, has been following this. He goes, the question isn't so much about whether or not the Yankees are going to chase Judge. The question should be, does Judge actually want to stay? You know, during these negotiations they've had in recent years, when there's been back and forth between the team and Judge, you know, the Yankees have put out an offer and Judge has said no. There hasn't been a counteroffer. And it kind of sets up the question, if in the offseason a team like the Giants, the Cubs, the Mets, the the Red Sox. Let's say they throw out a huge number. The Yankees stand at somewhere around 250. Will Judge just say, you know what, I'd rather go back and play for the Giants for not mm-hmm. only for more money, but maybe that's the situation he chooses. Aaron has done great. It's his prerogative to take the money or stay with the Yankees or whatever he wants to do, but I don't think we fully know exactly what his choice is going to be.
Do you find it interesting, Buster, and we're talking about Buster only, that Aaron Judge, whenever he's been asked now about this home run chase,
yep.
all he says is winning matters. Yeah, we won that, but that's yep. what matters. Team success is what matters. Like constantly saying, and then the one line, remember Bart, I pointed this out, the one line that he said that really caught my attention was when he said, personal numbers, individual records are for the off season. And that really stood out to me as well. It's as if he just does not want to act like this is all about me. I'm about winning, and winning matters most. And maybe his question is, and Bart brought this up yesterday, maybe he looks at the Yankees and feels like, I don't know if they're built for that kind of winning, and that's what I want to be part of.
Yeah, I don't know if I go that far. I really believe, and let's face it, and Bart, I mean, you know this. A lot of times your players say, yeah, it's all about the team, and me as a reporter, Alan, you've done this, you kind of roll your eyes a little bit, right?
Right, right.
With Aaron Judge, I think that's actually who he is. Like, I think that he is as tough mentally as any player that I've been around. So even after he's angry that the Yankees released the numbers on their offer, he's locked in and feels like he owes it to his teammates to try to perform. Even in the last 6 weeks, as the Yankees lineup around him is depleted, mm-hmm. he's locked into each plate appearance like I've never seen. Like, he is remarkable in that regard. And so I think he stays in the moment in a way that we just don't see and we're not accustomed to. And I tell you what, if I'm an owner of another team, the Yankees should feel this way too, and I'm watching that saying, this guy is a unicorn in his mental toughness, and that's something worth investing in going forward.
Yeah, there's a lot more. Like when you bring up like Robinson Cano and some of these other players, you think this is not the same deal at all. Way more marketable, much different personality in the clubhouse.
Yep.
Like you just brought up the mental strength and all that stuff. There's a lot here that is so much different. Unicorn, the Yankees have never really dealt with something like this after Derek Jeter. And even Jeter was later in his career. So this is something very unique. And boy, in the offseason, this is going to get very interesting. Buster, great stuff as always. Always good to talk to you. Thanks so much.
Thanks, guys.
Buster only again with the latest. That Judge story. Ooh, that Judge story. But I'll tell you what, Astros Mariners, I'd love to see the Mariners just beat them up for a little bit in a series.
For you.
That could be fun. Just to see somebody
clear the road for you guys.
Please.
Maybe, steal one.
Although when Luis Castillo, like you like to say, comes into the Bronx, I won't be comfortable about that either.
Should've
All right, so coming up, I did have some questions about Lamar Jackson that I need to follow up with you about Diana Rossini's report. We'll get to that. We also have calls 888-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio.
Bart and Hahn.
But here it comes now. Ready? Oh, yeah. Now the chill comes up your spine. So this is it's not Heinz Field, whatever the hell they call it now. It doesn't matter. Still in Pittsburgh, and you're hearing this, and you're just standing there going, what's going on? Right? And then Tommy Shaw does this.
Wait for it.
Tommy Shaw does this. Yeah.
And then it gets soft, because I'm not scared.
Well, that's all right. But the scream is what gets you. Like, you know how you always say somebody going to die?
Mm-hmm.
That's when the moment when you thought somebody just died.
You know when you M&T Bank Stadium, what happens? When they lock the doors? And we play that gladiator thing.
Yes.
No matter what comes out of these gates, as long as we stick together, we can defeat it. I will protect this house. I will. That's how we come.
I like that. Under Armour.
Yeah.
I will protect this house.
Yeah.
That's good. That's pretty good. Spartan Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. This September, Disney Plus is back in action with exciting new premieres from Disney. Well, look, it's the Patriots that are going to have to hear that song. Pixar, Star Wars, Marvel, National Geographic, and The Simpsons. And this month only, you can get Disney Plus for just $1.99 for 1 month. Offer available until September 19th, and it's $7.99 a month. All this and more now streaming. So let's just reset the Lamar Jackson thing, because before we got to Buster, you said something that caught my attention that I needed a follow-up on. But let's just get everybody caught up to speed, because Lamar Jackson has now cut off not just talking with the Ravens about his contract extension, but also with the media. His quotes constantly say, respectfully, I'm done talking about it.
Yeah.
I've told you guys before, I was going to be done with it week one. Week one's over with. We're done talking about it. Focused on the Dolphins now. And that's where they're moving on for week two. Now, Chris Mortensen on Sunday and Adam Schefter as well. They both had great reporting about a final last-ditch effort by the Ravens that Jackson turned down a five-year extension worth over $250 million with a reported $133 million guaranteed at signing. So literally, sign your name. Here's $133 million. Yeah. And he said no. And that's it. The team is, again, according to sources, they're balking at the idea that Lamar believes he should get a fully guaranteed deal, similar to the one that Deshaun Watson has gotten. Now, that's all aside. He's not talking about it anymore. But Diana Rossini did talk to him before he went into the media embargo about talking about his contract extension. And here's a little bit of what she revealed was in the conversation.
He was really transparent. And he's like, look, I'm just waiting for the right offer. And when I asked him if he was going to play the rest of the season without a contract in place, without an extension for next year, is he willing to do that? He told me, we'll just have to see. We'll see about that. Which, you know, may sound very basic, but that was big to me, because we just all assume if he played week one, he's playing all year long without a deal. But we're just going to have to see now.
All right, that's interesting. And then something you said before we got to Buster only and transition into baseball in the previous segment really caught my attention, because you said, you know, if somebody's willing to give up three first-round picks, what did you mean by that?
I mean, listen, at the end of the day, if they can't come to compensation, it's going to come a point where they're not going to want to franchise tag him twice and potentially, like, lose him anyway and not get nothing in return for him. So they might start listening to offers for Lamar Jackson. Listen, they're very comfortable with Tyler Huntley. You know, he's had success. He's not Lamar Jackson, but he's not a bad quarterback. This is a Super Bowl-winning team that won Super Bowls with Trent Dilfer and Joe Flacco. You know, Huntley will be a high-priority free agent when he's up. He's only 24 years old. They were comfortable with Tyrod Taylor, who had a stint. I can see them walking away if they can get a package – like three first-round draft picks, some twos, some threes, or something like that, and say, you know what, we can build our team with such good players that we can walk away. But I don't think the Ravens are the type of organization that's going to fold and say, I'm going to give you a guaranteed contract, because that's going to set a precedent that the next time, if you give a dude a guaranteed contract 1 year, and 5 years later, you think you're going to have to give him a guaranteed contract again. So I'm not going to set a precedent, then everybody looking at the Ravens like they dumb. Everybody already look at Cleveland like they're dumb. They're used to it, right? But they did something that they had to do out of desperation. The Ravens is never a desperate organization. They believe that they are. It's more about their program and how they go about business than it is one individual player. They are not afraid to walk away from anybody if they can get a deal that they're comfortable with.
Are you saying that, like, you are saying it? So let me ask you this. Well, what do you think the percentages are that this could end up in a trade?
Maybe 15%,
because I think so. It's still very low.
I think at some point, Lamar Jackson, there's no guarantee that where he goes is going to give him that guaranteed deal either, because everybody understands the fiscal responsibility. If they give a player like Lamar Jackson, that means guys like Burrow, guys like Herbert, you know, guys like maybe Lawrence if he turns it around. I'm not gonna say Zach Wilson because I'm not gonna go there. But it's, you know, it's going to be other guys that are behind them. So then now you're just, you know, you're setting yourself up if you ever want to have a run at one of these guys. Like, let's just say Jameis Winston wins a title with the Saints. He's on a 1 year deal pretty much. He's going to want a guaranteed contract, and everybody's going to be looking at the Ravens like, you big dummies, you just mess it up for everybody. And then they're going to take so much of the salary cap that it's going to be make it hard to do business.
So okay, that I completely understand. I mean, this would be. This is obviously a big part of the story, is how long this will go on for, and you believe that there's just going to reach a point where it's either the Ravens will start listening to offers, or Lamar has to decide how bad do you want to be a Raven versus how bad do you just want to get the contract that you're looking for. Here's the other thing to keep in mind. Sort of like Tyreek Hill, Tyreek Hill didn't really choose the Jets, right? To say that the Chiefs turned down the Jets' offer is not really true. It's the Jets probably had the better offer, but Hill didn't want to sign with the Jets, so that offer was only contingent on signing. So for Lamar, it's the same thing. The Ravens could get offers from a million teams.
You don't have a no-trade clause. You don't have a no-trade clause. They can trade him wherever they want.
Well, but still, if I'm a team trading for him, I'm not trading for him without the extension agreement. So if he's saying, well, I'm not signing that, well, why am I trading? I'm not going to do it. So the four picks or the three picks are contingent on him agreeing to an extension with us. Otherwise, I'm renting him because he's going to become a free agent.
But if you get rid of him and if you get rid of him like next year, like in the offseason, you franchise tag him, then you can get rid of him on a franchise tag and the team's going to have the rights of him for 2 years to be able to convince him that, hey, maybe you want to go
but
here.
This was about this year, though, Bart. What he said, what Diana was saying, what was he was sort of suggesting – he might not put, like, he'd never, then, he then did not gonna, say, I'm playing avoid, every game this year.
Then he's going to void his $23 million. Because now, if you don't play, you can hold in all you want. But if they can prove that you didn't do this, and I don't think he would play with the fan base that way. He's a guy that really appreciates what the Ravens have done for him by, you know, giving him a chance, taking him late in the draft, Ozzie Newsome's last draft pick. You know, I don't think he would play those type of games. He's either going to try and figure something out or he's going to say, you know what, just let me get to the open market. And then, you know, respectfully, don't franchise tag me.
I want you to quickly to reiterate something you said yesterday about why financially it makes sense for him to wait. Because of we were talking about Amazon yesterday and the $11 billion they just paid for Thursday Night Football. Right? Yeah. Explain again why for Lamar this is still – him being, I want to say smart business, but it's definitely strategy.
Because you got to understand, if they don't come up with a salary, then they're going to have to take the average of the five top quarterbacks in the league. Right now, that's Aaron Rodgers, that's Kyler Murray, that's Russell Wilson, and maybe, I forgot who else, maybe Derek Carr maybe, and Deshaun Watson. But next year, that's going to flip because I think this year is the first year where Herbert and Burrow is going to be eligible for extension, and they're going to want to get those guys locked up.
But you were more talking about the TV deal.
Yeah, because they're going to want to lock those guys up immediately because they know that, you know, one of those guys in the next year or so is going to be a $60 million annually a quarterback because the money from Amazon is going to put more money in the pot. That money takes effect and goes into the salary cap as the salary cap is probably going to raise crazy because now they know that they're going to have $11 billion locked up into the ecosystem. Mm-hmm. I believe a couple years ago, maybe 4 years ago, the NFL was a $9 billion annual type of company. With Bezos' money, that definitely moves it up to $10 or $12 billion with the new TV deal. So that means it's a revenue split. So that means that the players don't get more piece of that pie. So if Lamar Jackson just waits, he can potentially, you know, just think where this started at the beginning of the year. It started before Watson got paid, before Rodgers got paid, before Murray got paid. If he just waits and two more people get paid, just by him waiting less than 185 days, he probably didn't put another $6 to $8 million annually into his deal. So that's an extra $40 million.
Right. And think about it like this. Before all this started, there was no $50 million average player and there was no $250 million guaranteed player. Now there is. So where does it go from here? All right. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Coming up, we'll get you set for tonight. Speaking of Bezos, the first Amazon Prime Thursday Night Football game. Are you watching? And also, by the way, Donovan Mitchell with a bit of a hostage video in Cleveland. We'll discuss. Bart and Han, ESPN Radio.
Bart and Han.
Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. 888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776 is the number. Well, yesterday, Bart, amongst everything else going on in the world of sports, the Cleveland Cavaliers had their big welcome party for Donovan Mitchell, who they acquired in a trade with the Utah Jazz. They gave up a ton of draft picks. They gave up a couple of starters. Colin Sexton wasn't part of their plans, but still a starter. Lauri Markkanen. So they gave up some pieces, and then they obviously get a guy who's going to fit really nicely now on this very young but very talented team.
Garland.
With Darius Garland in that backcourt. So very special stuff there. But as we all know, Mitchell, who is from New York, the intention was always, or the expectation was, that the Knicks were going to get him. So many people thought it was a fait accompli until the very end, where the Knicks just said, we're not paying what the Jazz are asking us to pay. We're not doing it. And so they ended up bowing out, and they don't get him. But it's still very interesting because, okay, so the Knicks say too rich for our blood. The Jazz say, fine, we'll find somebody else. And then there's Donovan Mitchell, who's like, well, wait. I thought I was going home. Brian Windhorst did a sit-down with Donovan Mitchell. You also catch Mitchell on the Woj Pod, which is a very good, great conversation between the two of them, with his expectations and everything else. But just listen to Donovan Mitchell. And really, if you could see him, it would sound a lot different. But just listen to Donovan Mitchell when Wendy's asking him about, you know, did you expect that you were going to end up in New York?
I thought it was New York. I'm not going to lie to y'all. But, you know, and obviously, who doesn't want to be home next to their mom? You know, and I haven't lived at home since I was like in eighth grade. I've been at boarding school and whatnot. So it would have been nice. But, you know, like I said, for me, once I found out I got traded and what we're going into, like, that trumped everything for me.
It did, for now.
Yeah,
but I will say this.
Tried to tell you yesterday about New York, not the same power they used to.
No. Don't go there. but honestly, the Cavs, now this is a really good team. It's a good get by the Cavs. He's under contract. He can opt out in 2025, which means if he just wants to come home, 2024-25 season, which is 2 years from now, he could, again, do this whole idea of, all right, well, I'm opting out, so you might as well trade me. So we'll see where that goes. But the Cavs are Mr. Right now. They're not Mr. Right. You could hear it in his voice. And if you saw his expression while saying this, it speaks volumes. So the Cavs are still going to get an all-star who's going to give it everything he's got. But you could just tell by this interview, he was disappointed he did not end up home. Clearly.
Yeah, but when he saw the basketball ramifications, he's like, you know what? This is a young team I can win with. And if I, to your point, if I win in 2 years, I get what I came for. I'm a winner. Mm-hmm. Then I can go back to New York and don't have to worry about it.
And he's still only 27 years old. All right, we're back in 10 seconds.
Bart and Han.
Interesting news today. Did you see the news between Kanye and the Gap?
Gap. Yeah. Suspending the
breach
line
of contract,
yeah, right? Yeah, he had the red one, right? He's in beef with Adidas as well. I mean, he's a billionaire, so clearly he's done a lot of things right. And you know, like most jeans, they won't be appreciated until they're gone. But you know,
Gap was sort of like, we're not doing all that, and so everything that he demanded, they did not do, and so they're in a breach there. That's interesting news there on that front.
The coat sold out in like 13 seconds when he did it, when he was doing his little concerts in the stadiums.
He's got so many people fooled. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive Commercial Insurance can protect your small business with over 30 coverage options, an easy-to-use mobile app, personalized discounts, and more. Get a quote in as little as 6 minutes at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Discounts and coverage selections not available in all states or situations. Bart, you have Amazon Prime?
I think my daughter put one in my name. I'm looking at it now. I might be able to get it done.
Just randomly just signed you up to it?
She got all my cards, man. She just do what she wants to do. Like food, order, she don't care.
I can relate. Yeah, so we'll see how that does tonight, because you have Thursday Night Football for the first time. It's on Amazon Prime. It's not on any of the regular cable TV networks. So it's a new look. Al Michaels, Kirk Herbstreit will have the call, and they got the studio set up as well. I'm curious to see a lot. I'm curious to see about the cameras. Will they use extra cameras? I've heard there are some extra cameras. Might be two sky cams, which could be fun. I want to see commercials too.
Holograms.
Like, I don't want to see a full commercial. I'm already paying for this subscription. Why do I now have to watch a damn commercial? You want to put a commercial on the side, maybe on like a little side panel, but keep me at the stadium, man. Like, let me see that. And then on top of it, this is a pretty good game. Chargers and Chiefs, Mahomes, Herbert. Yeah. You know, maybe an early message from the Chargers.
Mm-hmm. Well, you give somebody $11 billion, they have to give you the best of their product. So, you know, just like, you know, they gave them all the good games. I don't think this is like the traditional Thursday night games. You give $1 billion, pay $500 million more than what the asking price was the willingness from other stations that's free. You want the best games, and they gave them the best games.
Yeah. So, and you certainly got a good one to get things started. Now, you know what else is going on? I know it's not a can't wait. That's tomorrow. But you know what else is tonight?
What's that?
Well, it's a possible elimination game in the WNBA Finals.
Is it Ham going for a first title, one win away.
Oh, Becky Hammon.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Her Las Vegas Aces are up 2-0 against the Connecticut Sun. And tonight they can get the sweep and win the championship. 9 o'clock tonight. And my concern is this goes up against football. This whole series has gone up against football.
Yeah,
game one was
them.
Sunday.
Yeah, bad. That'd be bad for them.
Well, how about the fact also that even if, let's say the Sun win tonight to force a game four, game four of the WNBA Finals are at 4 o'clock on Sunday. It's you know, I mean, I know you can't like work your whole schedule around the NFL, but when you're trying at this time of year to get people like when you're in your finals, you're not just getting your diehards to watch; you're trying to get everybody to watch. Yeah. If I got Amazon, you said it yesterday, you can't go like last channel because Amazon is not on a channel.
It's got to be an input.
You got to like bounce around if you're trying to catch both games. So if there's a championship to be won tonight in WNBA, you know their numbers were very good on Sunday because it was on ABC. It's on ESPN tonight. I just wonder how the numbers will be reflected against Amazon Prime Thursday Night Football. Plenty of football to talk about as week two begins tonight, everybody. See you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.